continuing my message from last week, where we talked about being guilty of godliness, being guilty of godliness. And even that statement, as I think about it, and as I ponder it in my mind and in my heart, that is a desire that we should have as believers, that people would accuse us of being godly. I mean, what a wonderful thing that would be, as we were accused of being godly people. Even if we're being persecuted, even if we're being ridiculed, to have at the end of our lives, that was a godly person. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, that would be just absolutely amazing on our tombstone. This was a godly person. This was a godly woman or godly man. That we would be godly Christians, godly fathers and mothers and children, and to seek after godliness. How many people here know godliness doesn't happen by accident? Right? It just because you believe doesn't mean you're automatically made godly. Yes, because of Jesus we're righteous. Because of Jesus our sins are forgiven. But our actions don't immediately change to being godly. I've shared this many times. When I first got saved, there are certain things that changed in my life immediately. But there's still things to this day I'm still dealing with, right? There's sin in our lives. Anybody in here perfect? Okay, because I was going to say, you're going to step up here if anybody raised their hands. No, we're a work in progress, right? I'll never forget one of the early couples retreats that my wife and I went to at a Calvary Chapel. It was Christian under construction. You know, Christian couples under construction. And that always stuck in my mind, that we're always under construction. There's always work to be done, right? Every time I get on the highway, I know there's more work to be done. Right, Gary? It's always more work to be done. Last week, I shared this quote. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That statement itself convicts me, right? It's like, oh man, I wish people would see my life in such a way that they would be able to accuse me of being a Christian. I want that. And it reminds me of a story, because this is a time that we're living in that there's, I believe, no other time than in my life that it's important to have godliness. That we are constantly being reminded that there's a God in heaven, that we're constantly being reminded, like you heard in my prayer, that God's in control. That's what we need to be doing with each other, right? Or else we're going to be succumbing to fear. We're going to succumb to, you know, the conversations, the things on the news, the different information that's out there about the world that we're living in. And it's only our faith that's going to hold us true. And I've experienced that in my life, year after year. Trusting in God, putting my faith in God. When my mom passed away, when my brother passed away, it was faith in God that helped me get through that. And I was just texting with a friend this week, who we have a mutual friend whose father just got diagnosed that in the next 2 weeks he's going to pass away. So he's basically on his deathbed. And so praying for them. And then this person I was texting with said that their father had to have a triple bypass. And so they were with their father, and seeing their father with all the tubes and all the things that they do in the hospital hooked up was just overwhelming to this person. And they said, what's the point of loving when you're going to love and lose? And as soon as that question came to me, immediately in my mind, I feel like the answer came. God created us to love. God created us to love, and he created us to be loved. And to be loving. And for that very reason, you know, we know the saying, to have loved and lost is better than to never love ever before, or to have never loved. And this person said, man, you always have the right thing to say. And I'm standing before you. I don't ever have the right things, that most of the time don't have the right thing to say. That was a work of God. And it's that encouragement that we can give people in their time of need. That's being godly. Right? I mean, we all struggle in this life. There's always going to be things that are difficult, and we're going to have to deal with those things. But hopefully there's people in our lives that can help us be encouraged during tough times. That's what we need. When Paul was on trial here in Acts chapter 24, he was on trial for being a Christian. You know, the Jews hated Jesus, and they certainly hated Paul for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul was on trial for being a believer. That's what we're seeing. And hopefully that we've learned that. Hopefully we've learned that in our lives, we can also be guilty of godliness. I hope you pursue that and seek after that. You know, I'm looking around this room, I know several people that hold the word of God so dear that whenever you ask them a question or whoever you're talking to them, there's always going to be a verse that's going to come out of them because they've hidden the word in their heart. And that's where it needs to be. It does us no good if the word of God just stays in a Bible with the book closed on a shelf, right? It has to get off the pages and get into us because that's what encourages us. And I love the fact that God's word encourages me in my time of need. And that's what it'll do for you as well. So let's look at Acts chapter 24, picking up in verse 17. We're going to go ahead and read. It says, "Now after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me." This is Paul giving a defense. "Purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." What a great thing to be accused of, that you believe in the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Verse 22, "But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.' Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound." So as we're reading this chapter, we have to realize 2 years go by. So this is not just real quick. I mean, Paul is in this particular situation for a long time. And in this chapter, as we've been talking about being guilty of godliness, last week we talked about, as Christians, non-believers are not going to like us. They're going to hate us, in fact, right? And we saw that as an evidence of being a Christian. If the world who hates Jesus hates us, that means you're probably going in the right direction. If the world who hates Jesus likes you, I'd be concerned, right? So, I mean, that's an evidence, is the rejection. And I didn't share this verse last time, but this is the hope we have as believers. "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" This verse encourages me because we're going to bow before him in worship, aren't we? We're going to kneel before God in adoration, in reverence, in respect. To think about what it's going to be like to actually behold the face of Jesus. Wow, it's going to be amazing. But this verse reminds us that every knee shall bow, even those who don't going to believe. They'll be forced to believe. So if they hate you, Jesus says, listen, if they hate you, they hated me first. They don't hate you for you. They hate you because of me. And to me, that's an evidence of being a Christian. If there are people in your life that don't believe in Jesus and they're not that happy with you, that's a good thing. You're making an impact. You're showing that you're different than the people in the world. And that was the first thing we saw, and that was in verses 1 through 9. In verses 10 through 21, we talked about hope, the hope that Paul had. And real quickly, just to kind of catch us up, that hope in verse 10 was a cheerful hope. See in verse 10 where it says, "Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, 'Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself.'" Even in his difficult situation we talked about, Paul had hope because his hope was in God. And so he was cheerful even in that. In our times of trial, we have to do our best to be cheerful about our relationship with God. Right? As James says, consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials. I still struggle with that. Anybody else? consider pure joy when you fall into trial. Consider joy. Be cheerful at all times. There's always a reason to have hope, and there's always a reason to be cheerful. The second thing about hope we talked about was worship, our worship towards God, worshiping the Lord, lifting our voices, being worshipful about him, thanking him for being who he is. And we also looked at that. Also, that word worship can also mean service, a willing service to God. So we're hopeful in that. Thirdly, we saw Paul had hope in the word of God. That was in verse 14. He held the law and the prophets at the end of verse 14, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. As a believer, do you believe the entire word of God? From beginning to end. See, we cannot be believers that just pick and choose what parts of the word of God we like. You know, what is it, Methuselah? How many years did he live? 969. Do you believe that? Do you know anybody that's lived 900 years? No. Who would want to live 900 years? Anyway. But do we believe that? Do we believe everything in the Word of God? But here's the Apostle Paul being accused of being a believer in Christ and saying, I believe in the entire Word of God. And that's what he's being accused for. Let's be known for people of the Word of God, that we believe all of it, not just some of it. Because I do believe there's believers out there that don't fully embrace the entire Word of God. And then lastly, when it comes to hope, his hope was in God and in God alone. And that's truly where it needs to be. Yes, I'm thankful for the men and women in my life that have led me to the Lord, that have encouraged me in my faith. But my hope is in God. Our hope can never be in a person, right? And things that happen in your life, if you look back at what amazing things God did, you'd have to say, many times have to say, it had to be God. There's no other way that would happen unless it was God. And I love it when God does that, when he shows you something in such a miraculous way that you're like, that couldn't have happened naturally. I couldn't have made that happen if I tried. A lot of things in my life. And I read a story about a man named Terry, and he was a business manager for a psychiatry department at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. And he was late to work one morning. I don't know if you've ever experienced being late anywhere. But you got to understand, sometimes God uses our lateness to his advantage. Terry was on his way to work. He was late. But he decided to drive to the top floor of the parking garage and just spend a couple minutes before he went into hectic work and just look at the sky and just spend some time with the Lord, just for a few moments. As he gets to the top floor, he notices a woman is standing on the edge of the top floor of the parking garage. And he sets his stuff down, he goes over and walks up to her, and she says, I've had enough, I wanna go see Jesus. I've got too much sin in my life. I can't live another day. And Terry has the opportunity to talk to this woman and says, what you need to do is you need to put your faith in the Lord. You need to trust God to work out the situations in your life. This is not the answer. And he says, if you come down, we'll pray a prayer together. I believe God will give you the strength to endure whatever it is you're going through. And praise be to God, she did step down. And Terry took a pin off of his shirt and gave it to her and said, this is a gift for me to you. And it said, there's always hope. And he gave it to her. Guys, these are the opportunities that God gives to us. Listen, sometimes I run through my day, I always feel like I'm late. I always feel like there's something holding me back. But I believe God sometimes will orchestrate the events of our lives so that we can be in the right place at the right time. We need to slow down in life, right? We do too much too fast. Or maybe I'm preaching to myself. But it's like, God, give us those opportunities, help us not miss. I mean, had Terry just driven in and gone into work because he was late, he'd have missed that opportunity. So spreading hope was the thing that showed that the Apostle Paul had his trust in God. He was hopeful in the Lord. This third thing is in verse 17, and we read it. And it's a small thing, but I think it's a big thing. It says in verse 17 again, it says, now after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation. This third thing that should be a characteristic of all believers is generosity. That we would truly be generous. And not just money. I mean, this isn't a pastor saying, hey, dig deep if you have faith in God. You know, write a big check if you really want to put your trust in God. No. But we have to be generous people, generous in the things that we do, the things that we say, generous with our time. You know, I find those three T's in my mind: time, talents, and treasures. Make those things available to others. That's that you be generous with your time, that you be generous with the gifts and talents that God has given to you. I'm so thankful for the gifts and talents in our small church that God has blessed us with here at this church. Because I can't do all these things. But God has brought people to be able to lead worship, to be able to help set up coffee. I mean, just all of these things that need to be done in a ministry. And I believe God has gifted people sitting in these seats right here that he wants to use, and he wants you to be generous with those gifts, giving God the glory and giving God the praise. He was generous. And notice it says alms and offerings. This is above and beyond. I just want to take a minute. Above and beyond tithing. Tithing should be something that we all do. But with alms and offerings, those are above and beyond. You know, there's good ministries that we should support. There's things that we are should be involved in and participate in. But let's make sure we're first faithful in the tithe. Just a couple weeks ago, I spoke to someone who wanted to make a donation to Lakai Timon. They said, I want to give my tithe to Lakai Timon. I'm like, I can't accept that. That's you taking control of what's God's and what belongs to God. I said, you should be tithing at your church, and if you want to give something to Lakai Timon, then give it. That's an alm, that's an offering, that's going above and beyond, right? And that's what God wants us to be. Even our worship night last Tuesday night, I just have to brag on our worship team. You guys did an amazing job. And just the people that constantly were saying, this was so great, we need to do this again. I told woman, I say, hey, we'll pray about it, maybe we'll do it once a month. She goes, I would love to do it once a week. I'm like, well, let's ease up a little bit here. let's slow down. This was a little bit of a work, right? But it's like, but what's great is I think there's a need in our world, certainly in our lives, in our town, where we spend time coming together and worshiping. And with that, I want to just say this. The time that we spend before getting into the Word of God is so important. Make sure you're focusing on worshiping the Lord. That prepares your heart, prepares your mind. Yeah, because if you're like me, I'm already thinking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday's meetings I got coming up. What am I going to be doing? And it's like, Lord, I just want to worship you, to truly focus on God, to be generous with our time for the Lord, right? I've shared this many times too. I used to read a devotion that said 15 minutes alone with God. And I laugh to this day because it seems like only 15 minutes, right? It's 24 hours a day. I'm only going to give God 15 minutes, right? But truly spending time with the Lord, that's what's going to encourage you in this time that we're living in, is your time committed to God. I would even suggest if you looked at your calendar, see how much time you're giving to the Lord compared to everything else you have in your life, right? Maybe work. Spend a lot of time at work, right? Maybe play, activities, things that we enjoy. I could go off on social media because we just watched that movie. What was that documentary last night called? The Social Dilemma. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I want to erase my phone. Lord, I want God to have the most of my time. And I know that's not logically, physically possible, but can't we invite God in all of our situations, all of our circumstances? You know, if you take a break at work, if you have lunch, invite the Lord to be there. Be generous with your time with God. And Paul, in his heart, is bringing this offering to Jerusalem because he wants to provide. And Paul, again, the traveling preacher, if you will, visiting the other churches, taking up a collection, and going and be able to distribute that. What a blessing it is to bless people, isn't it? To truly be generous with our things, it blesses other people, and what a blessing that is. You know, that's why Christmas is so great. It's not about the presents. It's about seeing the joy on someone's heart or face when they open up a gift you've given to them. That's the root of it. You know, it's turned into a money-making machine, but the root of it is, man, we just love spending time with people and seeing them blessed by a gift. But not only was Paul generous, there's also the other side of it, receiving a blessing. Have you ever received a blessing? I know there's people sometimes that have great needs in their lives, but they're afraid to ask. Shame on us, because I believe God wants to bless us through someone else. And sometimes that means having a need. And for that, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. A few pages to the right in Philippians chapter 4. We'll pick up in verse 10. Again, the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4 and 10. Your page is turning, so I'll wait. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul had the right perspective. He was looking at the Lord and seeing provisions and blessings in his life as a means that God used. And that should go both ways. Whether we receive it or we're giving it, it should be the things that God gives us. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you." How sad. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent an aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but look at this. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Here's the thing. When Paul was being blessed by this church, sadly, they were the only church that was supporting him. But what I loved about it is the blessing he received, not only the gift, was that they were going to be blessed by blessing him. And what an amazing picture that there were those that were supporting the Apostle Paul. And there's people that God has placed in your life to help you. Don't ever feel like you're beyond being helped. Let God help you if you're in a situation. Certainly pray about it, but communicate it. Let others know. I have a hard time with that, to be honest with you. I'm like, "Lord, I just trust in you." Well, sometimes we need to share what's going on in our lives. Ask people for prayer. See what happens. See, being generous with other people should be something that we're addicted to. It should be something that we desire. God is such a giving God. Don't you believe that? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. What a beautiful picture that God is a giving God. And let's be like that. Let's be like the Lord. Here, the Apostle Paul in Philippians is giving praise to people who supported him. Even though he said, "I trust in the Lord. I know how to be abased. I know how to have nothing. I know how to abound. I know how to have many things. In all things, I can be content." And that's really where we should be. But in that instance, he was provided for. But in Acts chapter 24, what's interesting to me, he's all by himself. It's all by himself. But the Lord's with him. Guys, the Lord is always with us. He is always there, and we just need to pay attention to him, listen to him, and feel his presence and his guidance. God wants all of his people to be generous, but he also wants us to receive blessings. Receive blessings. I thought I had it here, but I don't have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. We all know this verse. It says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." See, we have to be careful that we don't apply this generosity principle begrudgingly. "Oh, I'm a Christian. I have to do this." Listen, we should give generously out of a joy in our heart. Okay? That word cheerful, do you know that word cheerful is where we get our word hilarious? I remember the first time I discovered that, and I just sat there and laughed. I'm like, we're supposed to be giving and laughing. It's a hilarious thing, that it should be a joy. And give as you're purposed in your heart, not as you're pressured by someone else. Not as you're trying to compete with someone else. I'll never forget this. I was involved in a very early church start. I remember me and a couple of the guys counted the tithe at their church. And I'll never forget one guy saying, looking at a check going, man, I will never be able to write a check as much as this person just wrote a check. And I stopped him and I said, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because 10% to you is 10% to them as well. You don't worry about the number. See, we can compare to each other. You give as God shows you, as you purpose in your heart, be a generous person. You cannot outgive God. I love that. And in fact, I encourage you to try. Right? You can't outgive God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And whatever you give, he will make sure your needs are met. And that's what Paul said in Philippians. Your generosity, God will provide. So let's be generous in verse 17. And then the last thing, and this is where we'll begin to close. Let me say that. The last thing is in verses 22 through the end, where Felix where Felix listens to the Apostle Paul, but then says, I don't know, I got to wait for some more information. And so what's interesting to me about this is that the Apostle Paul looked at everything in his life as an opportunity to minister Christ. And so the last thing to me is always seek truth. Always seek truth, all right? Because to me, as believers, if we're not seeking truth, then what are we seeking after? You know, in the world that we're living in, there is no truth anymore. Everybody has their own truth. Cindy has her own truth. Scott, you have your own truth. Pastor Larry, you have your own truth. What is truth? This is truth. The Word of God is the absolute truth. And if I start formulating my own truth, I'm in some serious trouble. I'll be outside the context of God's Word. And the Apostle Paul sought truth even towards his enemies. Again, Felix had the opportunity and did leave him in jail for 2 years, but the Apostle Paul still wanted to minister to truth to him. Guys, we have to fight with every ounce of our being against the flesh to teach truth to people we don't like, to people that are not nice to us, to people that don't treat us right, to make sure we're always teaching truth and teaching it with love. Right? Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Truth is powerful. It needs to be communicated in love, though. I remember the first time I learned some truthful things in the Word of God. They bring great conviction, right? But when it's presented to me in a loving way, I receive it. And that's, if we're going to be, you know, grow up in all things into him who is the head, if we're going to grow up into Christ, if we're going to become those Christians that are Christ followers, then we're going to speak truth. And the Apostle Paul had an opportunity to teach and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to Felix and Drusilla, his Jewish wife, whom was Felix's third wife, and Drusilla, he literally had to steal from her other husband in order to get her. So this is not a good guy. Even when we read in here that says, oh, and if give Paul some liberty, he's not being nice. Because he knows Paul's a Roman citizen. He has to treat him that way. He's not being nice. In fact, Drusilla's father was Herod Agrippa, who actually put James to death, Herod Agrippa I. So this is not a great family. But I love the fact that the Apostle Paul spoke truth to anyone and to everyone. May we be people that speak truth. But do you notice what he says in verse 25? Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. For someone who acquired his wife by breaking up another marriage, and it being his third wife, you know the Apostle Paul was speaking truth in love, and it was bringing great conviction upon Felix. Again, it even says he was afraid, right? He was hearing those things. He was fearful. The truth should bring us to a place where we surrender our will for God's will. Because you don't know if God won't use you to lead someone to salvation. Now, Felix never accepted Christ. I mean, he enjoyed hearing from Paul. But we even see in there he was hoping to get money from Paul. So his motivation was greed. It wasn't truth. But think about the fact that we can share truth with even potentially our enemies, and they come to become believers. They turn into our brothers and sisters. What a beautiful transformation. What a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit if we're truly seeking truth. You know, I've got several friends that are going through some really tough times in their lives. And it's really tempting to try to lash out towards evil, isn't it? It's real tempting to try to do everything you can to get your way. But the thing I love about my two friends that are going through, they are just wanting the truth to reign. And they're going to honor the Lord in it. You know, I have one friend who lives in Texas, and he has a roommate in his house that won't leave. And he's making his life miserable. And so he moved out of his house. He's living with his mother. It's that bad. And every time I talk to him, he's like, you know how many times I've shared this story with people, and my friends look at me and go, and you haven't killed this guy yet? And you haven't done this yet? I mean, we all feel that way. But what I love about this guy is like, that wouldn't honor the Lord. And that's what we can, yes, we want to. Our flesh wants to lash out, right? Our flesh wants to be justified. But our spirit says that's not the way to respond. We need to respond in a godly way. If we're going to be guilty of godliness, we're going to seek truth. And we're going to seek to honor the Lord in everything that we do. Is your faith appealing to other people? Notice Felix, it says Felix will keep calling Paul and talk to him for a little while, then send him back, then talk to him. Because there was an interest there. He wanted to hear about the things of Christ, but he didn't want to hear them for the right reasons. So is your faith, is your godliness appealing to other people? Is it convicting? Are you speaking the truth in such a way that it does bring conviction in someone's life? Because our hope is that our lives would emanate the love of Jesus Christ so that they would one day surrender their lives to Christ. God is amazing at what he does. Let him do what he wants to do. You do your part. That's all that matters. I was in the doctor's office this week, and I was having a procedure done on my right foot. And I was actually talking to the doctor, and he knew I was a pastor. And he made a comment. I can't remember what the comment was. I said, well, you know I'm a pastor, so I believe in the power of God. And I believe the ability that God can give the body to heal. And he and I actually were able to have this conversation because he's also a believer. And he too is amazed at the intricacies of the body that God created. What a joy it was to have a conversation with someone in the medical field who also had belief in God. Guys, look for opportunities to share your faith in God. Even if you're just letting someone know that you believe. Even if you just said to someone, I'm a Christian. I've seen many times in my life, if I say I'm a Christian or I say I'm a pastor, it's amazing how their personality changes just a little bit. Not as much cussing comes out of their mouths once they know I'm a pastor. That's the difference we should make. Our godly presence, again, not that we're wonderful, not that we're perfect, but that we're living for the Lord and living for God. Let's pray that God would give us those opportunities and that we wouldn't miss them, that we would speak truth. Speak it in love, because you never know when someone might finally say, I want what you have. And then you'll be able to lead them to the Lord. What a wonderful thing that would be. So let's pray that God would fill us with his presence, that we would go out there and live out loud for him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word and how thankful we are, God, that you have not just left us here on this earth to figure things out, that you have given us the scriptures to read and to seek truth from and to apply these things to our everyday. And God, I would pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but God, fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we would be sensitive to the people around us and the experiences that are around us, Lord, that we would be able to share the truth and share it in a loving way. Help us not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. Help us to be godly, God. Help us to have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, that we would make a difference in the world that we're living. Encourage us and give us that hope that one day we will be with you. But also help us, Lord, to be effective here on this side of heaven. To you be the glory. To you be the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.